If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, in the spirit of the Seattle Kraken leaving town after picking up their seventh straight road win, let's kick off Blackhawks therapy here on WGN Radio with a few words. I'm listening. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show as we recap the Hawks' 8-5 loss to the Seattle Kraken. Until 10:30 tonight, the Blackhawks see their three-game winning streak come to an end. The Seattle Kraken are the hottest team in the NHL. They have won 8 straight games, now make it 7 straight road games. As John has just mentioned, they're the first team in NHL history to sweep a 7-game road trip. They're the first team in NHL and NBA history to sweep a 7-game road trip. Yes, of course, not many teams have 7-game road trips. However, you can't just knock what the Seattle Kraken have done and are doing right now. They are off to a fantastic start to this year, even though we are at the halfway point. But the Kraken, a playoff team at the moment, and really making themselves a case to go for a playoff run. Kaylee Chelios is up in the Blackhawks radio booth here at the United Center. She had the call with John tonight. And Kaylee, this was a different game after the first period, but unfortunately you do have to play 60 minutes for an entire NHL hockey game, and Seattle clearly took advantage of that in the first period. But if we do go ahead and look at some of the things that the Blackhawks were able to adjust to, they played a better second period. Their offensive ingenuity, their offensive desire to score didn't die out, and we saw that in the third period. That has been a common trend with this team, no matter what the score is, no matter what opponent that they are playing. But again, we saw a nice goal from Isaac Phillips. We saw good work on special teams and some other solid things after the first 20 minutes of this one here tonight.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they played their worst 5 minutes of the game in the first period, and in that stretch, the Seattle Kraken were able to score 5 goals to add to their lead. So if you take that away, it's hard to do that because that really changed the tone of the game, especially for the Kraken in the second period. They didn't have to score a goal. They managed the game very well, shut it down defensively, and did a nice job. They allowed the one goal that Isaac Phillips scored. It was a beauty of a goal, end-to-end, with a nifty backhander for his first. So like you said, bright spots are that Phillips got his NHL first. They played a good second period, tightened things up defensively, didn't allow as many chances off the rush that Seattle generated. But in the third period, again, great job by Max Domi finishing on the power play. It was a great little give-and-go play with Taylor Radish. But then the next 2 shifts, Seattle once again outnumbered attacks going back the other way, and they leave Alex Stalock out to dry. So It was unfortunate because uncharacteristic play continued to creep into their game even in the third period, but they finished strong, scored 2 goals at the end, and honestly, I know what Seattle did tonight was historic and very dominant at times in this game, but if I'm Haxtell, I think I'm still going to be a little bit frustrated allowing the last 2 goals, especially the Patrick Kane one in the final 10 seconds of the game. So it goes to show you the Hawks never gave up, but the Kraken, obviously, to be able to get off to that type of lead in the first period shows their determination and where they're at in their game this season.
Well, if we go back to that first period, of course, you know, it just started to snowball. And once they grab a 2-1 lead and then a 3-1 lead, and then every time they throw a puck towards the net and it goes in, of course they're going to keep doing that until something else happens. But I want to go back to what you said after the first period and that first period intermission about just putting that in the rearview mirror, going into the second period with the same type of game plan, but just not rolling over and dying. And I know you don't want to fully credit the Hawks for their second period, because obviously Seattle can play a different game when they're up by 5 goals. But it seemed like that same type of play continued for the final 40 minutes. And again, I do think that that's credit to this team understanding the situation and not getting totally down on themselves and still finding something to accomplish. This isn't even just pulling positives. It's just, okay, guys, yeah, we're down by a lot. What can we do right now to accomplish something? And that is what they seem to do in those final 40 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm eager to hear what Luke Richardson says post-game about his message to the guys during the intermission, because you could just see their body language after the first period, the frustration, the disappointment. It was embarrassing, but at the same time, like you said, Joe, they really changed and played to their identity in the second period. They minimized the D-zone breakdowns by backtracking through the neutral zone and doing what they've done so well in these three wins they had at home. And that was protecting the house, keeping Colorado to the perimeter, not allowing those east-west plays. And where that got away from them were just some of the turnovers they made at the blue lines. And it led to outnumbered attacks the other way and just way too good of looks for Alex Stalock and Peter Mrazek to be able to defend against. So credit, like you said, to the Hawks for playing a solid second and trying to use some of those elements that made them successful in the wins to cut the deficit to three, I'll say, in the end.
I'm not quite sure how else we can break down this game. I feel like this
part, yeah, a lot of adjectives being used to to try to talk about the offensive prowess and some of the breakdowns. But
hey,
we kind of expected this. Maybe there's, you know, we could have seen games like this throughout the season. This is the first one I've seen where it got out of hand like that so quickly.
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, there was the New York Rangers game from earlier this month that kind of got out of hand too. But I also think, Kaylee, that tonight is an example of how consistent the goaltending has been for the most part, because I feel like, and I've said this a lot this year, there's so many games this season that either Peter Mrazek or Alex Stalock or Arvid Soderblom have kept the Hawks in games and have made it competitive. And even though the majority of those have resulted in losses, they've been and they've stayed competitive games. Clearly that wasn't the case tonight. And I think that goes to show how different this season would be if the Hawks didn't have so much consistent goaltending this year.
That's a great point. You know, last season, Marc-Andre Fleury was here.
Yeah.
And he bailed them out of a lot of games. Even in losses, it could have been a lot worse had it not been for him. And we have seen a great tandem in Mrazek and Stalock, not really knowing what they were going to be capable of this season. So also goes to show, like you said, I mean, they were exposed tonight. They gave up a lot of chances that they wouldn't normally off the rush and in the D-zone off breakdowns and just a lack of communication and left their goaltenders out to dry. So, you know, they've said it before. They're playing games in hopes of winning just to give some love to their goaltending because it has been the most consistent position. So you know they're going to have a big response, or you'd hope to, based on what happened tonight. And you don't want to let your goaltenders down like that, especially after both Mrazek and Stalock have come off really impressive performances and wins.
When do we have you next, Kaylee? Are you going to be here for the Buffalo game?
That's a good question. It's not for Buffalo. I will be at the United Center, though, doing studio work. My dad will be joining me in studio with Pat Boyle.
Oh, wow.
So I will see you, but I will not be in the booth again, I don't believe, until the following game.
Okay, well, that'll be the only time we promote the other side of the broadcast. So I'm kidding. That's really cool. You guys did that once last year, right?
We did, yes. It's a little nerve-wracking. You never know what's going to happen. We both get a little jittery, and it's a little fiery together, sorry, because we're similar. So I don't know. You never know what someone's going to take personally or not because we kind of rip on each other, but we're going to try to do our best for Buffalo.
Man, that's quite a tease. I like that.
I take it back.
I want to see what kind of jabs you're throwing at Chris Chelios, your dad.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's hard, especially if we talk about hockey. He can put me in my place pretty quickly, but it's okay. It's a learning game.
Oh,
he's
man.
Blunt, if you haven't noticed. So.
Oh, your dad? No, I haven't noticed that at all.
Sometimes it comes out the wrong way, and I have to correct him, but we're both learning.
Well, that'll be cool. That'll be a lot of fun, and man, good luck
Bring out the bandito, the gummy bears, the popcorn, and the soup that night between the radio booth and us in studio. It's going to get hungry.
It's going to be a very messy floor with all the snacks and treats. Good stuff. Great stuff as always, Kaylee. And we'll talk to you down the road. Have a great call with your dad in a couple of days.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Enjoy your Sunday.
Yeah, likewise. That is Kaylee Chelios. She and John Weideman with the call tonight as the Blackhawks fall to the Seattle Kraken 8-5. Obviously a rough one here at the United Center. If you were here at the United Center, kudos to the Blackhawks fans tonight. I thought a great representation. This place was pretty much full. Seemed like there was a great festivity before the game, a bar crawl here at the United Center. But the one thing I will always credit Hawks fans for is just being engaged in the game, whether a win, whether a loss, whether it's six goals by the visiting team on the first seven shots on goal, and even if it is a Bronx cheer for Alex Stalock making the first save of the last, again, six goals of shots faced. I know he was the second goaltender pulled, but let's face it, it's a fun group here at the United Center. The Blackhawks fans know the game, they stay engaged, and they're going to have a fun time one way or another, even if their team is down 6-1. So hat tip, stick tap to all of you. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. We're taking you up to 10:30 tonight. Of course, we heard from our buddy Tim from Urbana on a night like tonight, sharing his wisdom and positivity about the Blackhawks. And our buddy Sam from the 469 just saying that Hawks rule and the Kraken stink. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We are going to get to a break, but before we do that, a couple notes that I want to point out, because let's face it, Seattle with a very impressive game tonight, a great job in becoming the first NHL team to sweep a seven-game road trip. They're the hottest team in the NHL right now. There's no going around that. During their seven-game road trip and seven-game winning streak on the road, they've outscored opponents 37-15. Overall, it's an eight-game winning streak for the Kraken. That's their first in team history. During this road trip, the Kraken won or were tied for 18 of the 21 periods. Now, that's full-on domination. And actually, the Blackhawks winning two out of the three periods tonight, believe it or not, even though they fall 8-5 tonight. So the Blackhawks are curted. The Blackhawks did something twice tonight that six previous opponents were only able to do once. And okay, maybe that's grasping at straws. Maybe that's splitting hairs, any metaphor you want to use. But, hey, it's something. Jared McCann also with a hat trick tonight. He becomes the second Seattle Kraken in franchise history with a hat trick. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will take a listen to the highlights of this one. We're also going to hear from Luke Richardson and Captain Jonathan Toews. It looks like Toews was the only one made available to the media tonight. We'll see what both of them had to say. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Hello, Chicago.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm listening. And welcome to Blackhawks Therapy here on 720 WGN. Oh, fantastic job by Brett Jackson back at the WGN studios. Yes, a rough 8-5 loss to the Seattle Kraken. Blackhawks see their three-game winning streak come to an end. They cough up six goals in the first period. And if you're a Blackhawks fan not happy with your team tonight, the head coach is feeling the same sentiments. We'll have sound from Luke Richardson and Jonathan Toews in a little bit, but just some quotes that I'm pulling from Twitter. From Luke Richardson, nobody was prepared to play today, mentally or physically. That is straight from the head coach's mouth. So it looks like he had some stern words for his team, and it'll be interesting to hear what the head coach has to say. Again, if you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. We will take your calls. We'll take your texts from the 773 area code. Great program, John Weideman and Kaylee Chelios. John, glad to see your voice is coming back. Don't overdo it. Kraken are a good team. The Blackhawks did not give up. The third period, the Blackhawks outscored the Kraken 3-2. In the second period, the Hawks outscored 1-0. So the final 40 minutes played by this Hawks team was definitely encouraging. I think Kaylee Chelios brought this up. It's important to also point out the Kraken have to, or rather can play a different game when they're up by five goals. They can play a little bit more reserved. They don't have to get risky, get too flashy. They just kind of play the game that they want to play. But that allowed them to just kind of go into cruise control. Those two goals in the third period ended up being pretty big, though. I mean, the Blackhawks could have made it a two-goal game, or rather a one-goal game, had those not gone in. But again, I think if we're looking at the adjustments that this team made after the first period, that is something to point out. Before we get to Luke Richardson and Jonathan Toews, let's hear how it sounded at the United Center tonight. It was very early on. The Seattle Kraken had their first shot on goal, and then it was the Blackhawks kind of attacking a little bit more, but it was Seattle being able to strike first.
Brandon Tanev to the puck along the left boards. Seattle zone to Morgan Geeky at center ice to Daniel Sprong into the hot zone. Now to Sadiksen shoots. He scores. Kraken take a 1-0 lead, manufactured by their fourth line. Tanev, Geeky, and Sprong on the finish. It's 1-0 Seattle.
Yeah, Sprong just kind of went off to the races and brought that puck down the ice, able to put it past Mrazek and give Seattle a quick 1-0 lead. It was actually the first time that the Blackhawks have allowed the other team to score first in their last seven games, but they had a good response because less than 2 minutes later, they evened things up.
Toews fires. They score! It's Seth Jones deflecting the puck in behind Martin Jones, and the Hawks have tied it at one. Toews took the puck back at the top of the left circle and fired it down toward the net. And folks, this may actually be Jonathan Toews' goal. I believe it will. That's goal number 12 in the season. We're tied at one.
It did stay as Toews' goal because Jones was right there in the crease. However, it went off a Seattle Kraken player, tying up the game 1-1. So it looked like the Blackhawks were able to find that mojo back. Also worth noting, after that goal, the Blackhawks' last 10 goals have been scored by 10 different players. We've talked about how that depth has really helped out the team on their three-game winning streak that did come to an end tonight, but it definitely has been helping them out. After that is when Seattle took over, and we'll start with the Matty Beniers goal.
Done. Checked closely by Blackwell. Puck slides to the line. Beniers, long shot. He scores. There was traffic in front of Peter Mrazek, and I'm pretty sure he was screened on this shot. Beniers took the puck 2 feet inside the Hawk blue line, fired a long wrist shot, and this may have been tipped, may have hit somebody, may have hit Jack Johnson, but it ends up in behind Peter Mrazek. It's 2-1 Seattle.
Yeah, Mrazek was screened pretty hard. He had a very difficult time of reading that puck. We won't overkill it. We'll fast forward through a few of these. Matty Beniers makes it 2-1 Seattle. And then just a little bit later, let's see, 1 minute and 16 seconds later, Jared McCann made it 3-1 Seattle on his 20th goal of the season. Less than 2 minutes after that, Andrei Burakovsky made it 4-1 Seattle. And then that's when Luke Richardson pulled Peter Mrazek, brought in Alex Stalock. I mean, four of the first five shots on goal for the Seattle Kraken all went in. And unfortunately, that trend continued. Even with Alex Stalock on net, Seattle just kept flipping the puck towards him. Eli Tolvanen netted his seventh goal of the season on the first shot that Stalock had faced. And then even just 30 seconds after that, Jared McCann with his second goal of the first period, making it 6-1 Seattle. A huge turn of events in this one as the Kraken were able to set marks. They scored 6 goals in the first 13 minutes and 11 seconds. That's 5 goals in a span of just 3 minutes and 41 seconds. They had 3 goals in a matter of 63 seconds. They scored 6 goals on their first 7 shots on goal. It was a franchise record with 6 goals in one period, and they became the third fastest team in NHL history to score 5 goals on the road, which they did so in 3 minutes and 41 seconds. The leading team in NHL history, Quebec, scored 5 goals in 2 minutes and 42 seconds against Washington back in 1981, and then the Rangers did it in just 2 ticks under 3 minutes against Buffalo in April of 2013. So obviously a rough first period for this Blackhawks team. We talked with Kaylee Chelios about what the Hawks do after that, and you just kind of wipe it away, put it in the rearview mirror, and just keep on moving forward. There are still things to try and accomplish, and then maybe you can talk about making it a game. But for the most part, you just got to get back to playing your game. And in that second period, it definitely seemed like the Blackhawks were getting towards that, and it especially looked like it as they got a goal from one of their rookies.
Caleb Jones finished his check. Geeky didn't like it. Back up ice the Hawks. There's a shot by Phillips. He scores! Isaac Phillips with a nice backhander. Let it rip from near the right circle. That's his first National Hockey League goal. Gets the Hawks another marker. It's now 6-2 Seattle with 9:15 left in period number 2. Congratulations, Isaac Phillips.
So great to see Isaac Phillips with his first NHL goal, his third point of this season with the Hawks, as he's been doing a nice job pitching in offensively since coming up from Rockford. That was the only goal of the second period. We moved to the third period, and the Blackhawks were able to strike first.
Seth Jones over to Domi, top of the right circle to Radish. Domi shoots and scores! Max Domi lets it rip from the top of the right wing circle. He beats Martin Jones cleanly. That's his 13th goal in the season to match the number on his back on a power play. It's now 6-3 Seattle, and I like what I'm seeing.
If you happen to listen to the FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show, we had pointed out a Max Domi goal would get you a payout of plus 390. That's exactly what happened. We went 2-for-3 tonight. We went with the over, which was accomplished in the first 13 minutes of the game. But the Blackhawks unable to cover. They were given a goal and a half, but a Max Domi goal helping things out overall. After that, Jared McCann solidifies his first hat trick with the Seattle Kraken, just the second Seattle Kraken hat trick in franchise history. Bjorkstrand picked up a goal, his seventh of the season, making it 8-3 Seattle. And then the Hawks still had a little fight left in them. Taylor Radish with a power play goal, getting a good feed from the left side from Jonathan Toews, being right on the doorstep where he should be. And then even Patrick Kane pitching in his first game back from the injured list, his eighth of the season. That made it 8-5 Seattle, unfortunately, too little too late, as the Kraken go on to win their eighth straight game overall and sweep a seven-game road trip, the first team in NBA or NHL history to ever do that. We're going to take another break. We're going to hear from Luke Richardson and Jonathan Toews when we come back. We'll also take your calls and your texts, 312-981-7200. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Tonight's three-star selection is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. All three of them are all Seattle Kraken. Jared McCann, the number one star, again, a hat trick tonight. Manny Beniers scoring the second goal for the Kraken. In this one, he's the number two star, and Alex Wenberg with the number three star selection. Jonathan Toews, the Blackhawks captain, scored the Hawks' first goal of the night. He wasn't too pleased with his team's performance in this 8-5 loss to Seattle. Let's hear from 19.
Specifics, but what generally is said in here in the first intermission after a period like that?
It's not complicated. It's not good enough. The effort's not there. Preparation's clearly not there, so it's not anyone in particular. It's across the board, so it's nothing specific, nothing special. But I think we all recognize that I was far from the level we played at these last three games, and we got to show a little bit more experience, a little bit more character in the way that we're taking steps forward as a team and maturing as a team, and when we start getting momentum and things start clicking because we're working and we're earning the bounces, we can't just have an off night. We're just not feeling it, and we're just going to mail it in like that. We got to be better than that. So,
can you tell in advance on a night like this that you guys just aren't feeling it, or is it just kind of happened during the game?
I mean, there's going to be nights where, we play a lot of hockey and you're not necessarily bouncing off the walls when you come in here, but again, there's no excuses at this level. Everyone's got a tough schedule, playing a lot of games, so you got to find ways to get ready. And I don't even think that we could use that as an excuse right now. Our schedule's been pretty straightforward, a lot of home games. So, again, across the board, we have to have a better team effort at home and give our crowd a little bit more than that. So,
when things snowball that quickly, how difficult is it to kind of reel it back in?
Obviously it's not a good feeling, but it was so bad that it's just like, okay, well, let's just throw that first period in the trash and go play from there. And I think we responded, but you went on 6-1 in the first period. But, there's only so much you can really do about that, so.
Did you come in and say anything, or did Luke come in and say anything?
Yeah, Luke addressed the team, and
just that was...
So I think you can probably figure it out. So,
when you guys are in last place and there's 20,000 people here, in the middle of January, do you take some ownership and some pride in that and what you guys have built here? That, that's lasting.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most disappointing thing about a game like tonight is that we have the best fans in the NHL, and I mean, Chicago sports fans are incredible, but the Blackhawks fans are above and beyond, and you know, they're showing us our support through thick and thin, and you know, that's, we got to give them something more than that. So I think that's what, we can't be too happy about ourselves after a game like that.
Again, I'll echo what Captain Jonathan Toews said and just bring up the term engaged. You know, good, bad, or ugly. The Blackhawks fans, as Jonathan said, have been filling up this arena, but they just stay engaged. Even if it is a rough game, they find a way to have fun with it. So again, kudos to you, the Blackhawks fans, if you're on your way home. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We're going to hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson, in just a moment. I want to pull out this stat from Chris Kamka of NBC Sports Chicago, always full of the best stats, maybe obscure, but the best stats in my book. The Blackhawks now 92-10-5 all time when Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews both score in the same game. That's their regular season record when Toews and Kane both score 92-10-5, with the 10th loss coming tonight, 6-1 in the playoffs. It sounded like Luke Richardson, the Blackhawks head coach, was not happy. Let's hear a little bit from him.
Playing some very good hockey the last couple games and everything, and does that make it doubly frustrating that you have a first period like that?
Yeah, it was just a collective. Nobody was prepared to play today, like physically and mentally. And, you know, I think probably scoring right after they scored to make it 1-1, I think, you know, kind of, I could just, you know, it just felt like we're going to be okay the way we're playing. And we definitely were not playing well. So I think might have been the worst thing that happened to us, unless instead of not scoring there and maybe having to work back into the game, we just thought, I think it was going to happen tonight. And we just did not play physical. We didn't like bump people. We're not the heaviest team in the league, but we play physical and get engaged, and just weren't engaged physically, prepared to skate. And we talked about their team. They skate with the puck, and they skate probably as hard or harder without it. And there's not a lot of room out there. So we just weren't prepared to play that game.
To have to put in Stalock, considering the lack of prep he'd had?
Yeah, he's been, you know, he hasn't felt well this week, and, you know, not a lot of practice time. But, you know, he's a battler, a competitor. You know, it's tough. You know, I mean, I'm sure he wants a couple back, but he still goes in and battles for us the rest of the way. So, but, you know, at that point, you know, Peter was kind of, he might have wanted one back, but other than that, we weren't playing in front of him. So sometimes you just have to make a change to send the team a message, and it didn't work. So we had to call a timeout. Just, it was going even sliding further, just to stop the, you know, the snowball going down the hill. Like it was, and you know, and then again talking to them after the first period and saying, you know, giving them restarting. We have to have a few starting points here to focus on and get people engage mentally and then physically as well.
How do you get that message across in that first intermission? Are you peeling paint off the walls in there, or are you calm about that?
No, like, you know, I mean, I think you have to be stern the way you talk, but, you know, yelling and screaming and throwing things is it's too late. Like, it's already 6-1 or whatever it was. And I think, you know, you have to go in, and I go in right away instead of waiting to the 8-minute mark. And then I said, I'm not... you know, I just gave them a few points that we were terrible at, structurally, but really structure had nothing to do with it. It was not willing to skate, compete, and lose puck battles all over the ice. And, you know, against a team that works hard, and that's all they do. So they outworked us, and I just said, what are you going to do about it? And I thought, you know, we did react better, and we played better in the second and third, but the game's over. So we have to learn that you have to be prepared in the morning of a game. And, or even the day before, whatever your routine is, that you're a professional. This is your job every day. So rest, yeah, sure, rest is good sometimes on a day off. But even on the other days, what are you doing the rest of your day? You come to work and you're on the ice for an hour. And, you know, the rest of your life is still whatever you need to get ready for that next day and that next game. And if you can't do it, whatever you're doing, you better change it.
Tate said he felt like guys mailed it in. Do you agree with that? Is that a mental or physical thing?
Well, I think they just, for whatever reason, you know, you feeling good about yourself is a good thing. But if you're feeling good about yourself and then you stop doing what got you there, then that's a bad thing. And I think that's just a lack of mental and physical preparation combined for today's game for from the collective group. And, I think we, try and prepare the players the same way. We try to be as consistent as possible so they can be consistent on the ice, and we definitely weren't. I think we were consistent in our play probably the last five, six games on the most part. But the first period, way off the mark, and it's unacceptable. So, tomorrow's a scheduled day off for the team, and they have to take what they need and come refocused. The message was Monday to ready to work and get back into the structure and the style and the intensity that we played with before.
I'm going to be pretty interested to see how practice goes on Monday over at Fifth Third Arena. Luke Richardson definitely calling out his team there and making sure his team's going to be ready to work for that practice this upcoming Monday before Buffalo comes to town on Tuesday to wrap up the homestand. We do have one more break to get to. I want to get to this text, though. And again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200 from the 463 area code. Do you think that the team is too focused on Kane when he's out there, and that's why we are losing with him back? I'm not entirely sure what this question is asking, but if it's regarding some of the things that Troy Murray and I were talking about in the last game, don't overthink what Troy and I were talking about. Troy was mentioning how sometimes there's the Patrick Kane factor when new players or specifically young players come on Patrick Kane's line. They're often thinking, how am I going to feed him the puck? How am I going to set him up for a goal? Because Patrick Kane is an explosive goal scorer. Kane scored tonight. I mean, this team is always going to be better with Patrick Kane. This team's always going to be better with Patrick Kane, even if he's at like 60 or 70% at the very least. So I don't think the team can be too focused with Kane on the ice. But again, I do think that it did work out for Lucas Reichel this most recent time, him up here with the NHL level with Max Domi and Filip Kurashev, just because of how that trio meshed together. They were in sync a lot. You've got three very skilled puck handlers, three very fast guys, and not that Patrick Kane is that, but as Troy mentioned, sometimes there is that factor of guys worrying about setting Kane up so much that they tend to overthink things, and they don't just do what they need to do. It might have been a little bit easier for Lucas Reichel to do that this time around, but that also, I'm not also saying that Kane and Reichel should never play together. No, I would love to see that combination. I think that could work out very well. But hockey lines are difficult. They're tough. And sometimes they work for no reason and they don't work for no reason. So you just got to try things. You got to throw everything at the wall and see what sticks in that case. We're getting more texts in, but we got to get to a break. 312-981-7200 if you'd like a call or text. We'll take a look around the NHL and we'll take your thoughts when we come back. This is the Blackhawks Postgame Show on 720 WGN. Our player with the most heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. Let's go ahead and give it to the rookie Isaac Phillips with his first NHL goal tonight. Gave the Blackhawks their only goal and the only goal overall in the second period. However, this was a game for the Seattle Kraken, an 8-5 winner over the Hawks as Seattle wins its eighth straight game and they sweep a seven-game road trip. I'm Joe Brand. This is the last stop of the Blackhawks postgame show. Want to get to a couple of texts before we get to the out-of-town scoreboard. It is Luke and the coaching staff's job to get this team ready to play. Kyle Davidson needs to get to work in every area that needs his attention. Everybody can't have the demeanor of Luke Richardson, I hope. What is it going to take? 3-4 years to get somebody to pay attention? I've seen three cups, and that keeps my blood pressure down, but Kane and Taves don't have anything to hang their heads for. I guess it's really about the draft picks, and they're looking toward next season before this year even started. This is the NHL, and the Kraken just showed you how it's done. Practice, please. Thanks, Howard. A lot of thoughts there, Howard. I think you're saying a lot of what Luke Richardson just said to the media, though, about his team. He was not happy with his team's performance. He wasn't happy about how this team came out of the gate. Yes, that starts with the head coach, but I think he's taking accountability for that. I mean, you heard him that he's telling his team to be ready to work on Monday. They're going to take an off day tomorrow and be ready to get going, because that start was clearly not suitable for this team. Trying to pull out some other points from here. Kyle Davidson needs to get to work in every area that needs his attention. Yes, of course. I think Kyle understands that too. This is the first year of a rebuild. If you look at the roster structure, this was put together of a team with short-term deals, not a lot of mainly offensively skilled guys. It's a lot of hard-working guys that bring in good culture to the clubhouse or to the locker room, that is. That can help out this team and help out the young players learn how to play the game right. Of course, there's a lot of areas where the Blackhawks need to get better at. From the 312 area code, did Reichel being sent down have any impact on this game? I really don't think so. I really would find that hard to believe. Lucas Reichel is there for his offensive skill, not so much his defensive skill. Lucas Reichel's not totally preventing Seattle from scoring six goals in the first period. And from the 708 area code, somebody really not happy with Peter Mrazek. Listen, Mrazek didn't have a great game. Stalock didn't have a great game. The defense didn't have a great game. The Blackhawks didn't have a great game. It happens. Unfortunately, we are seeing it a lot more than often, but this was definitely a rough one. Throw it in the rearview mirror. That's it. Let's get to our sponsors tonight. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives, United Airlines, and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks back at the ranch of Sammy Martino and Ben Anderson, our producers. Brett Jackson was our producer here at the United Center. Jack Heinrich, Paul Zerang, John Weideman, and Kaylee Chelios on the call. I'm Joe Brand. That does it for tonight's game against Seattle. Beats the Blackhawks 8-5. We'll talk to you on Tuesday when the Hawks host Buffalo. Have a great night. Have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.